Of the Lord tonight. How many of you enjoyed services here over the weekend? Word of the Lord certainly was good. God came down and blessed us in a wonderful way, and we're here tonight, and this is a brand new service, a brand new opportunity to praise and thank the Lord for what He's done. Are you glad He's kept you so far this week? Isn't God good to us? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give Him a big hand clap of praise if we love Him tonight with all of our heart. It is indeed a privilege to be back in the house of the Lord. Let's stand tonight, if you will. We're going to invite the presence of the Lord into this service. Before we do that, why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, give them a nice smile, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. God to thee. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's look at our prayer requests tonight, if you'll stand with me. Well, actually, we've got so many, I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We've just got a catalog of prayer requests and things tonight to let you know about. I want to pray for Brother Harvey and Sister Shirley Lunsford, both still very sick, unable to be in the house of the Lord. We certainly want to pray for our brother and sister. Here's an unspoken prayer request for a teacher down at the Happy Valley Elementary School. The Lord knows all about that need. Brother Fred Green was nearly involved in an accident with almost hit a pedestrian just a while ago. The Lord provided a way out of that, and he wants to thank the Lord for that. Sister Mary Lewis sends some testimonies and prayer requests in. She wants to thank you for praying for her mother regarding the aneurysm that she suffered. The specialist told her that there's no need for surgery at this time and wants to see her again in about 6 months. So praise the Lord for that. Her dad also went to the lung doctor this week. Only 40% lung usage. Not expecting him to live. But she's trying to encourage him and just want to pray for her father, that the Lord would be with him. And may he use Sister Mary to encourage her father. Here's another prayer request that she turns in. She's been suffering suffering from severe hair loss for over a year. On her last doctor's visit, they talked to her and they said, "Well, why don't you just let us cut your hair?" She said, "That's not an option." And she just seeking the will of the Lord, and may God help her in that situation. She really desires your prayers, and so we just commit that unto the Lord. Sister Lana Jones sends this in. She had happened to be in her back bedroom reading the Bible, and one of the lens of her glasses fell out there in the back bedroom, and she searched and searched, couldn't find it, began to pray. And 3 days later, she was going through her purse, and there the lens was in her pocketbook. Now, she's trying to figure out how it got from the back bedroom to her pocketbook. But she knows and believes and wants you to know that God can do whatever He wants to. And He cares about us in little bitty tiny things. Somebody say praise the Lord. Sister Lonnie, God bless you. That's a good testimony tonight. Sister Gerald sends in a prayer request for her sister, Linda Church, who the doctor says in the last stages of cancer, but she's believing God for her healing. She'd been very sick today, and she asked for prayer, so we certainly want to pray for her tonight. Sister Lona Hara, I think, had a surgery on her foot today. Brother Gary called and asked that we remember her in prayer. Brother Randy Gisendanner sends this in for a special prayer request for a friend of his who has cerebral palsy, is blind and in a wheelchair. He streams the services regularly. Stevie Carnes is his name, so he's asking that we would remember that prayer request on his behalf tonight. Sister Irene Pierce sends this in to please pray for Mike Pierce. His right eye has started bleeding, and since his left eye is already blind from a stroke, he can see very little at this time, and they're just asking that we would pray for Brother Mike, just commit him unto the Lord. God's able to fix that, isn't He? Brother King wants us to remember his great-grandchild in prayer, has RSD and needs prayer, so let's remember that need as we pray tonight. Please pray for a brother, Joe Gullion, and his wife. I hope I got that name right. Gullion, he is having open-heart surgery this week at Johnson City Medical Center. Also for our son, Jonathan, who is having a hernia surgery tomorrow. So let's remember those needs as we pray. I want to pray for Leah Parker with flu symptoms. Maria is just getting over the flu. Emma is not feeling well either. Brother Lance is on the road out of town, and he is sick also. So we just want to pray for the Parker family tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of them. Amber English sends this in to please keep Barry English in your prayers. He's having a lot of problems with his liver, so let's pray for him tonight. Brother Joe Hara injured his back, is having a lot of pain, not been able to work. They're asking that we would remember him. Sister Lubine's cousin, Terry Buckner, fell off a roof today and badly injured both of his feet. He's in the Vanderbilt Hospital, and the family requested prayer, so we just commit that unto the Lord. Here's an unspoken prayer request for Jordan Hayton. We'll remember her tonight as we pray. Sister Ruth Ann Carter says, "Thank you very much for praying for Wayne Newberry. His sister visited him on Sunday before last, and he had regained consciousness and talked to her through a voice box. The next day, he walked 20 steps. Now he is home. They took the trach out, and he is doing good. One of his ailments was flesh-eating diseases. To God be the glory for bringing him this far." And God's able to finish your work. Do you believe that tonight? You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Could we stand tonight? Let's just sing that chorus together one more time. How great Thou art. We need Him more right now than we've ever needed Him in our life. Is that right? Certainly we do. We certainly want to continue to pray for Sister Reagan's sister, Rebecca, the loss of her son. We just commit them unto the Lord, that family, as they go through this very difficult time. And if you have something very heavy on your heart tonight, remember this. God certainly cares about you. And we're glad to have our brothers back from... Nicaragua. Is that where you brothers went? Have a good time. Have good services. Brother Brad, why don't you come just lead us to the Lord tonight in prayer. Maybe give us a brief couple of minute testimony about the trip. If you do that, would you like to hear that tonight? Brother Brad, come tonight. This is something he don't want to do, but we just need to hear a little bit.
Wish Brother Darrell was here. He could do better than I can. Or Brother Danny. Danny? I see Danny.
Go ahead.
Not here. Hey, Danny. Well, on behalf of the brothers that went, we appreciate your prayers. Great services. Brother Darrell and Brother David, they preached Brother Danny to death. But I'm sure it was well worth it. We've seen lives changed. Seen a man drunk on the Holy Ghost. That was great. The kids, I guess, want to thank the Sunday school because they purchased 50 Bibles for them. And we gave them Bibles out. They think they won the lottery. They were so happy. So we just want to thank the Lord for a safe trip back and wonderful meetings. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for an opportunity we have to come back in your house to worship you again. Lord, we just want you to feel welcome in the service. May you walk these aisles, God, to speak to each heart. Lord, we just thank you for all that you have done for us. Lord, you see the needs that was read across this pulpit, Lord, that many needs, God, we pray. But God, you took stripes on your back in Pilate's hall for our healing. We pray, God, may you just move for each one. Lord, we pray that you just see the needs of the hands, Lord, that was raised. Lord, anoint the congregation to sing in the special singing. Most of all, God, anoint Brother Donnie, Father. Help him to step aside and the Holy Ghost speak through us, Lord. Hear through us, Lord. Father, give us strength for our journey. Lord, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Brad. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming this service tonight, may God richly bless our brothers and sisters from around the world that's streaming this service tonight. Well, it's just a little while to stay here, isn't it? How many of you believe leaving is getting real close? Are you glad about it? Are you glad God's got something better for you? Give him another big hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Just a little while to stay here. Just a little while to wait. Just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Just a little more of trouble in this low and sinful state. Service. I want to be ready. Is that your desire tonight more than anything? You want to be ready? Let's sing that little chorus tonight if you will. Yes, I want to be ready.
privileges to be able to be ready.
Amen.
Let's turn to Genesis chapter 2, if you would. Genesis chapter 2, we'd like to begin reading verse 4. Y'all happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight? These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Isn't this strange? Because according to Genesis 1:26, God had done made man. But notice how the Bible says it doesn't say there wasn't a man. It says there wasn't a man to till the ground. Y'all hadn't noticed that before, huh? Wow. There was not a man to till the ground. Now listen how it was watered before the rains. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. From those scriptures, I'd like to speak to you on the becoming of man. The becoming of man. If you notice this in these last few words of verse 7, and man became. So it was something that he moved into. So man became a living soul. As a matter of fact, Brother Ben tells us in 1962 that man was already breathing. He was already standing there, taking breaths in and out of his lungs. But yet God breathed into him a different type of breath. So he become something. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight, Father, for your precious word. How we love it. We so are nurtured and fed by your word, dear God. We thank you, Lord, for the strength and the courage that you've given to us as your people. How we thank you for being a present help in the time of need. Lord, we ask tonight once again that you would come and anoint us in this service. Help us that we can be able to receive from your hand tonight, Lord. No doubt there's many needs among us and those that are streaming the service tonight. But we bring all of our burdens, our cares, our troubles, and we lay them there on the altar of God. And Father, once we're done, we don't want to pick them up and take them back out, but we want to leave them right there. We want to cast all of our cares on you, for we know that you care for us. Speak to us tonight, I pray, Father. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated, friends. Brother Rob, the monitor might be just a little bit loud. Let's look back again, if you would, in verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens. The word generations there is actually literally translated the family history of the heavens and earth. So when Moses is writing here, many times it becomes confusing to people, and they think that it's either repeating itself or that it's different stages of the creation. But we know that God will have things said in a certain way. Then he'll come back and reaffirm what has already been said and say it in a little different way. And then sometimes he'll even do it three times. that he'll come and express something about the same thing, but he'll say it in a little bit different way, which will add a little bit of enlightenment to it. Now, this is one thing that I've found many times, even when Brother Branham, whenever he would preach things, that if you don't get what he preached in that service, especially at the tabernacle, when he would tend to lay out more than he would out on the field, if you don't get it that service, come the next service thereafter, and generally you'll hear a little brief consensus of what he's preached the night before or the morning before, and you'll bring it all together. Many times there'll be several keys in there which will give you a greater understanding. So here God is doing exactly the same thing about the Genesis account of the generations of the heavens, so that generations would be as it was in our families, that there's several generations of Reagans. So I'm not the first one, I won't be the last one, but there are generations of Reagans, which means there's not one, but there's one that leads into another, that leads into another. So here the Bible says, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth. So the heavens themselves have generations that unfold from one into another, but notice there's not a plural when it comes to earths. There's only one earth. But yet the earth has consecutive generations, or that which unfolded about its original beginning, then the chaotic state, and then where, of course, it picks up here in chapter 2. So these are the generations of the heaven and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now notice how it seems peculiar here in verse 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. So here is the generations now. Notice how he goes straight from the generations of the heavens and of the earth. And then he says, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth. So where was it before it was in the earth? Where was it before it was in the earth? I mean, there's no nurseries there. God didn't roll down the evergreens and say, give me 500 million evergreens. Give me 385 million aspens. Give me 2 billion oaks. Give me 3 million walnuts. Give me, where was it before it was in the earth? Of course, it was seed form and it was in God's mind. So the generations of the heavens and of the earth did not begin genos, the Hebrew word genos, it did not begin in matter, but it actually began in thoughts in the eternal. And it's the same if you and I have eternal life. It did not begin when you were matter, when you were on the earth. Your generations goes farther back than when you started at the altar. That's exactly right. But now notice then, God says, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. Now there was not a man to till the ground. So where was Adam at? There was not a man to till the ground, and yet God had created this man in Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. Let them subdue it and all that. So this man had already been brought into creation, and he was a spirit being. But yet in that form, he was not to till the ground. He was not to take on any type of toil, any type of labor. There was no man to till the ground. So here in this stage, in order to become man, God must complete botany life. God must complete animal life. God must complete the universe. God must complete everything. And God must complete the spiritual being of man before he can actually become of Adam, or of the earth. Now the word Adam and the word ground actually come from the same word, and yet God is further expressing what this man was, because actually Adam become a further extension of the earth. And yet Adam become a further extension of the man in Genesis 1:26. So here we see this, that man is actually becoming. He's unfolding. Now you realize that Brother M told us that God thought about himself. He thought about you because he wanted to become. You know, to become is a wonderful thing. Now, to have the potential to become something is miraculous within itself, depending on what it is. But yet, to allow that within you to become in manifestation, it's really wonderful when God allows it to happen. So here, man is actually becoming. But what is he becoming? He's becoming into the image of what God wanted him to be. Now, the man of Genesis 1 is not fully fulfilling everything that God has in his mind, because he is not actually associated with the earth. He was made in the image of God. So he could look at the earth, and he had no common identity with the earth when he was yet in spirit form. But God's fixing to change that. So there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Now notice then, after the waters had drained off, the volcanoes had pushed up the mountains, and now the earth is in this state. So there was a mist that raised up upon the earth, no storms, no clouds passing by. So God basically irrigated the ground, which makes you wonder if this is what we will return back to in the perfect day. That the temperature will be exactly the same, you know how condensation works, that your vehicle can be inside of a warm garage and you pull that out or pull it in whenever I get inside the vehicle after sweating and being all hot and never goes to without failing. It'll always happen. When it's a cold night, when I pull in my vehicle, my door will fog up. My side of the windshield will fog up because of the sweat and the steam coming off of my body. What is that? Condensation. So it was a temperature range of the cold and the hot, and this is the way the earth produced the required moisture in order for it to grow. Now, you think of it in that perfect day when we're going back to a time when there will be no storms. There will be no typhoons, none of that. So will the temperature range revert back to the way it was before? And all God needs to do is let just a little cool wind pass by, and the condensation will be so heavy it'll water everything on the earth. No more lightning, no more thunder, no more tornadoes. Amen. Oh, thank God. Now notice in verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now in Genesis 1, we're told that God created man in his own image. God created man in his own image. Not Lord God, but God. God said, let us make man in our own image. Now why is it that it changes when we come to this earthly man? In this state of spirit being in Genesis 1:26, there is no need to mention Jehovah. There is no need to mention the compound name of God. Because that man in that state cannot fall. But now notice, as God goes to bringing this man and allowing this man to become, the name of God changes in relation to this man becoming something. Now watch what he's going to do. Notice how Moses writes this. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the earth. So in Genesis 1:26, God, Elohim, God created this man in his own image, the spirit man, the sovereign creator of Genesis 1. But notice now, as it comes into where this man is now going to come down and condescend and stoop beneath the man of Genesis 1:26. There must be a name change for God that will match what is taking place and prophetically what God knows will happen in the future. Now look at the word here. It is Jehovah Elohim or Lord God. So Lord God is the full, perfect name of God. So it's very fitting that God would reveal this perfect name when he's fixing to make a tangible body out of matter, and then let this man of Genesis 1 step into this body of matter and time. Now watch what God does. So then the Lord God formed. Now he created the man in Genesis 1:26, but here he is forming, not recreating, but actually forming. But he does it under the dispensational name of Lord God, which is Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah Elohim. So in the beginning now, he does not reveal this name of Jehovah Elohim, but he reveals it as Elohim alone. So the primary meaning of the word Lord, capital L-O-R-D, is Jehovah, which is the self-existing one. Literally, as in Exodus 3:14, he that is who he is, therefore the eternal I am. But now notice where this word comes from. It comes from the word Hava, H-A-V-A-H, Hava, from which Jehovah or Yahweh is formed, signifies also to become. to become. That is to become known. So here Jehovah is acting out, preceding before man ever becomes in flesh, God also becomes into a further part of the revelation of his own being. So he moves from God, Elohim, to Lord God. What's he doing? He's becoming. Oh, glory. He's becoming. And what is he doing? God doesn't do this without a reason, friend. This is not just here in order to tickle our ears and some you play on words. It's actually a mystery of God that God is becoming into the attribute which is going to be necessary to be associated with the becoming of man. Man can stay and relate with the attribute of Elohim. But once this man is going to be in matter, invisible, in time, come down into a visible, tangible body, he will need, he may not need it now so much, but he will need this attribute of Lord God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Notice this. So he that was and is and coming again was the same one now that is becoming here in Genesis chapter 2. So that is to become known, pointing to a continuous and increasing self-revelation. Now remember, God doesn't know anymore. God's never had a new thought. God doesn't learn anything. But God can allow himself to be unfolded. He'll reveal a little here and then a little more there and a little more there and a little more there. And he's allowing more of himself to become. He's not creating himself, but he's allowing himself to unfold more and more and more as our capacity is able to come in. Can you imagine when we get in eternal bodies what he's going to tell us then? Can you imagine? You say, what in the world are we going to do? I don't know. I figure the first 4.5 billion years it'll just be unfolding a little bit about who he is. And then after that, who knows what it'll be. But I guarantee you, it'll be absolutely perfect. Now, watch this. So you combine Hava at the meaning of the name Jehovah. He is the self-existent one who reveals himself. So the name is in itself an advancement upon the name El, Elah, Elohim. El, Elah, Elohim, which is God. So here before God ever makes the man then and forms the man from the dust of the earth, he changes his dispensational title and says, I will not do this in the form of God, but I will do this in the form of Yahweh, Elohim. Or I will do this in the name of Hava, in the name of Hava. For man is becoming and he's only following my image, for I am becoming as well. Can't you see why there's no stopping place for us as children of God? We're still becoming too. We're becoming more like him and growing and unfolding. Can't you see why God absolutely hates it when we put a period at the end of who we are and what we are and what we believe? He wants it to be as his own character, as Hava, which is to become. Hallelujah. It was God, Elohim, that said, let us make man in our image. But now it is Jehovah, Elohim, that forms this man into the dust of the earth. So Jehovah is distinctly the name of deity associated in redemption and salvation. Why would he then use this name before he makes this man in the dust? Can't you see the very name he chose to reveal himself in shows he knows what's fixing to happen? If he would have left it in the name of God, man could have never fallen. But since he chooses to reveal himself, hallelujah, in the name of Jehovah Elohim, it shows he knows man's going to need a Savior. Hallelujah. It was Jehovah Elohim who sought Adam and Eve. Glory. It was Jehovah Elohim who brought the coats of skins. So it is his name of redemption and working with man. And yet man hasn't even fallen yet, and he chooses to reveal this name before he ever makes a man. It shows he knew what was going to happen. Now watch this. We've run through this years ago, but let's run through it again tonight if you don't mind. The seven compound names of Jehovah. The first one is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. You remember the story, of course, it's Genesis 22. Whenever Abraham had went up by revelation from God, and God initially told him to offer his son, and yet God knew that there would be a lamb or a ram up on top of the hill, but Abraham didn't know it. So Abraham submitted his will to God, submitted what he thought was the promise to God, but somehow he knew that if God commanded him to take his life, that God was able to raise his boy from the dead. So Abraham told the servants, the lad and I will go worship and we will return. Amen. We will come back. Why? Because he had received him as one from the dead. And if he could receive him as one from the dead, he could receive him as one from the dead. In type, he received him from a body which was as good as dead. So if God could quicken his own body, he could certainly quicken his son from the dead if he was commanded to take his life. So then here God reveals himself now in this first compound name outside of Lord God. God reveals himself in the name of Jehovah Jireh, which is the Lord will provide. So here we see that God outside of the Garden of Eden has now chosen to reveal his first compound name on this side of the fall, and it was Jehovah Jireh. And notice, it's not Elohim. It's not God. It's not Elohim. But it is Jehovah. Jehovah. Notice the second compound redemptive name of God, Jehovah Rapha. The Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15:26. This refers, of course, to the physical healing when the Spirit of God had moved among them and they were identified as being in need of a healer. And God chose to reveal himself. Now, notice every one of these are not God. They are not Elohim, but they are Jehovah. What was the name of Jesus? What did it mean in the New Testament? Joshua, or Jehovah Savior. So here is Jesus, Jesus. When he comes on the earth, he does not come in the name of Elohim. He does not come in the name of Elohim, but he comes in the name of Jehovah. Why? We needed a Savior. We didn't need just an Elohim to prove how great he was. We needed a Savior. So what did he do? He come under that dispensational claim. Why didn't he use the new name of the eighth day to be born? It would have been the wrong claim, wrong dispensation, wrong claim. So he comes under what? Jehovah Savior, Yahshua, Jehovah Savior. Why? I needed a Redeemer. Amen. And let me tell you something, brother. That name is still good to this very night because I still need a Redeemer. I still need an intercessor. For the poor people around the message who think that name has changed to William Branham, I feel sorry for them. Come on, church. Now notice then, so we have Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, and the third one, Jehovah Nissi, which is the Lord is our banner. Exodus 17 verses 8 to 15. Of course, this was when the enemy Amalek had come up with being a type of the flesh, which was conflicting against the brought out son of God, coming out of the land of Egypt. And God came in a mighty way. Now notice, each one of these manifestations of the name is a revealing of God delivering and doing something for them. So this name is not just to decorate a pretty place. It's not to add, you know, a nice thing to the book. It's actually, the name is an identification of a hidden attribute that was in God. And once that attribute was displayed, then this name of God came out. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Notice this. Then the next one is Jehovah Shalom, which is the Lord our peace, or the Lord send peace. Jehovah Shalom. Ah, did we ever need peace in this time? I'm telling you. If there's ever a people. Now notice, every one of these foreruns Jehovah, 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 Jehovah. And we know on this side of the fall that it identifies him in the work of man with redemption. Why say that before the man has ever fallen? You've got to display your character. If you're God, you must display it in predestination. You must display your character in foreknowledge. You can't wait till afterward and then say, oh, I knew that, I knew that, I knew that. But he chooses to reveal himself before it ever happens on the earth. All glory to God. He chooses to reveal himself, not after it's done, not 500 years later, but before the man ever fell. He chose to reveal himself that way. Notice in Psalm 23, we all love this psalm. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Raha. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalms 23. Notice, preceding Psalm 23 is Psalm 22, when Jehovah makes peace in between man and God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jehovah Raha, the Lord, is my shepherd. Jehovah Titzkenu, the Lord, our righteousness, Jeremiah 23, 6. This name of Jehovah actually occurs in a prophecy concerning the full restoration and conversion of Israel. Now remember, this is not completely fulfilled yet. Then Israel will hail him as Jehovah Titzkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. And then the last one, Jehovah Shammah, which is Ezekiel 48:35. Now here, it will be in the millennium. And God will reveal himself in the last seventh compound name under this dispensation of dealing with salvation. Now in the millennium, of course, he'll be dealing with the heathen and with the Jews. The bride will already be saved there in glorified bodies. But it will be him, Jehovah Shammah, which is the Lord is present. Now notice at the end of the millennium, then whenever fire comes down from God and it will renovate the earth, then we no longer need the seven compound names of Jehovah because there's no more salvation. He's not saving nobody else. So then we go into the dispensation of the new name. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure it'll be wonderful. Now notice, so God, as he begins to speak this, and he has Moses to write it down. Again, let's revert back to Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So the work of the Lord then in forming the man and bringing him from the dust, the word form, actually describes the work of an artist. So it's the work of an artist or a potter that would begin to shape an earthen vessel from clay. So God, notice what God does. God takes the dust of the earth. So man was made by a divine plan. Supernaturally, he's already come into existence over here. How many years was it before? We have no idea. Was it 1,500 years that Adam lived in that spiritual realm? And yet there was no man to till the soil. So God wanted man to become. All of this is an advancement of God's own character. If man is going to become, God must also become. Don't you understand? This is the very cry of Abraham's heart. After God told him, you're going to be a father, then Abraham wanted to become a father. God wanted to become a father. He wanted to become a redeemer. He wanted to become a savior. The whole thing is him becoming. It's becoming to himself to become. Oh, glory. Now watch, as the potter then has power over a piece of clay to which he would mold and shape. And this word here that Moses used, the Hebrew word is very expressive, that Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth. The Hebrew verb, yashur, to form is used of a workman who carves statues in wood or metal, or a potter who molds the clay. Now notice how the word says this. And the Lord God formed Adam from the dust of Adama. So man and ground are the same. The Hebrew text uses the word Adam, which is translated man, which is related to the word Adama, which is ground. So the ground, glory, the ground is also becoming. What greater honor could the ground become than man? Now God, he took the beast out of the ground and took fowls out of the ground. Oh, but my God had now given the ground the greatest honor. So out of Adama comes Adam. Praise the Lord Jesus. So the body was formed, but the soul was created. Notice here the Bible doesn't say God is created. Now the word is used interchangeably, we know that. But in the Hebrew, in the original language, the Lord God formed, not created, formed man. In Genesis 1:26 was the creation. But this is a forming. Just enough dust, a little bit of mist of the moisture that's roused up off the condensation, and God begins to shape. Oh, praise the Lord. Now watch this. Science has proven that the substance of flesh, sinew, and bones consists of the exact same elements that's in the soil, the crust part of the earth. Hallelujah. I don't even need it when they prove it, but it just, I don't know, I like it. Now what? So God forms him, shapes him. Can you imagine like a potter? Like you get your children, Play-Doh. Of course, when I was a kid, we had our own Play-Doh. We made it. We're so poor, we had to go out in the mud hole, you know. And would make and shape all kinds of different things. But can you imagine God, the great potter, shaping and molding and forming the clay and the cosmic light and the nitrogen and the lime and all of these elements that are in the earth. And he formed this body. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So here he forms him and he reaches the completion of formation. But the man is still not totally done. Notice then Moses says, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Actually, in the Hebrew, this is the breath of lives. So he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of lives. Now man receives his life from a distinct different place than from animals. God never made the animals or the kingdom of botany after his own image or his own likeness. Neither does the scripture tells us that God actually was a potter using clay to make any of the other animals. Except for this one, man. So God breathes, notice this, into him. So man receives life of an act of divine inbreathing. I love this, and if I run away, y'all come and find me. Because it was not air that he actually breathed, but it was an inflatus from the Ruach Elohim. Now notice this breath is the same thing that moved upon the deep when the Spirit of God moved upon the waters, which was Ruach. So man is not just standing there breathing naturally, but Ruach Elohim breathes into his nostrils and he becomes an eternal person with God. Notice this, an inflatus from Ruach Elohim or the Spirit of God. A communication from the whole personality of the Godhead. The Hebrew word here is actually neshmak, which is breathing, which is Ruach in action. Glory to God. So God breathed Ruach. Ruach in action. The same Spirit of God that moved upon the water. Let me tell you something. He's here tonight. He's right here tonight. That same Elohim is here to breathe again. So here God breathing the breath of life. Now transforms this man into a living soul. The man was made a spiritual being over here. Now he's emerged and met in this natural body. Now the regeneration and the new birth, will it not be in the same pattern? Will the regeneration or the new birth in the New Testament, of the New Testament church, will it not be the same thing again? An infractus of the Spirit of God, filling not our lungs, not our bodies so much, but our souls with eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord. Now notice, when God then breathes into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and he becomes a living soul, this gives Adam three things we want to look at. It gives him a God consciousness. Unlike the plants, the trees, the termites, the ants, many of the dumb animals that were on the earth, they did not have a God consciousness. So this gives a man, because of the presence of a soul, a living soul, it gives him a God consciousness. It gives him also the ability to know right and wrong. Amen. Now so far he doesn't know it, but he's fixing to. So that ability from the impartation of the divine being of God gives him the ability to know right from wrong. You don't have to be a Christian to know right from wrong. It also gives him the ability to make choices about what he knows about right and wrong based upon that God consciousness. Now notice how one ties into the other. So a man could be born a native over an island somewhere and don't even know anything about the gospel, nothing about the message, but 9 times out of 10 you'll find them worshiping some type of God. They will be pulling from some type of deity. Why? Because they have a soul. Even though they may not have a Bible, they may not have tapes, they may not have the internet, but there will be something there pulling them. What is it? It's that impartation of God that every mortal has on the earth. You don't see a dog repenting, do you? You ever see a horse down at the altar call? What about a mule, a chicken? Huh? What about a fish? You ever see a fish down at the altar call repenting? He don't have a God consciousness. He does not have the ability to know right from wrong. He does not have the ability to act upon a decision based upon what he knows from right and wrong. So when God breathes into this man's nostrils and he becomes a living soul, an expression of a soul, then he's conscious of God. He has the ability to choose from right and wrong. And then he has the ability to make decisions and choices based upon that knowledge. Oh my. What's this in blasphemous names? Brother Ben said, what God did, he breathes the breath of eternal life. Then he become a living soul. A soul that can't die. Now watch now. He said, we're going to get into the honey. Plumb to your elbows. Notice, breathes the breath of eternal life into his nostrils, and he became an eternal soul. Because God breathed, not what nature done. I'm not talking about what happened to you whenever the midwife or the doctor smacked you and you took the breath of life. I'm talking about what God does at your new birth. Notice this in paragraph, page 28, paragraph 3. You say to me, Adam died, Brother Branham. But remember, before Adam died, he had a lamb that redeemed him. Those who he foreknew, he has called. He got a lamb to redeem them. You say Adam lost it. Oh no! All he lost was the earthly possession of that eternal person. He always was that. Adam's there tonight. Adam ain't lost. There ain't no way for Adam to be lost. Glory. He was a type. Adam fell. Then the lamb was provided for Adam. Because already in his nostrils had become the breath of the eternal God. And he became a living soul. Now notice, not just the in and out and in and out of the lungs. We're not talking about that. God did more than give him human breath. But God came by and breathed on Adam. especially upon Adam, breathes the breath of eternal life. And he become. Notice the whole thing, what it's about. To become. To become. To become. He become an eternal person with God. Hold on, everybody. I want to know right here and now, is there anybody in this building that has become, besides me, an Adam, an eternal person with God? But Brother Donnie, you're getting old. That ain't got no effect on what I have become. Amen. I have become an eternal person with him. Not that I was. Notice, eternal, how can it ever start? It didn't start. Adam only become the matter, the body, only become the holding ground of that attribute mixed with the breath of God, and he became an eternal person. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He becoming an eternal person with God. He had power like God. He was an amateur God. He was a God of the earth. Not God of the heaven now, but God of the earth. And someday, the sons of God will again become. Glory! The sons of God will again become gods. You say it's good for Adam only. Ah, you should have read page 33 of this message and hadn't stopped. Should have laid your book down. The church is the mystical body of Christ, born of the breath of God. Do you get it? The church of God is born of the breath of God. God breathed into the nostrils spiritually of Adam and he became a living soul. Hold on, Happy Valley. Did you know the Pentecostal, the true Pentecostal church is born of the breath of God? I'm talking about Laodicea. I'm talking about denomination. I'm talking about the true Pentecostal church. She's born by the breath of God. That's why I ain't ashamed to be called Pentecost, this one. Don't call me Assembly. Don't call me Mountain Assembly. Don't call me Cleveland Assembly. Call me Eternity Assembly. Hey, hallelujah! True Pentecostal. Brother Donnie, if you ain't 1906 Pentecostal, how come you shout? You think shouting bothers God? God asked Job, where was you? When the morning stars sang together and my sons were shouting. Notice the true Pentecostal church is born of the breath of God. Let me read you something just a minute, just on that. Let me see a minute. St. John, I believe, where I'm going to, we'll find out whether the church of God or not. I believe it's about 16, 19, 20, all right. Here, I believe we have it here. All right. Let me read you and see whether the church is born of the breath of God or not. Like Adam was in the beginning. And the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Notice now we move beyond the Sabbath of the Jews. We move beyond the Shabbat of creation. Now with this new creation comes a new day of assembly. The first day of the week. Which is why we go to church on Sunday. That's right. If Saturday was the Sabbath, then we'd be here on Saturday and we'd have Sabbath school. We don't have Sabbath school. We are the Sabbath. The Sabbath is in us. That
that rest has entered into us. But what day did Jesus choose? He wanted to make sure they knew He would not appear on that seventh, that old Jewish thing, but He come on the first day or the eighth day. When the doors are shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when He had so said, He showed them His hands and side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then Jesus, oh my, notice this, to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, so send I you." Watch, He said. The Father that sent Him went in Him. And Jesus, when He sends a disciple, He goes in Him. When He had breathed on them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So here is Jehovah's Savior on the first day of the week, standing there. What does He do? "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Brother, sister, there ain't no way for that not to come to pass. It comes straight from the mind of God. Hallelujah. Carried right on the breast of Ruach Elohim. It's going to be a few days in coming, but it will arrive. Yes, sir. It's going to be a few days yet because the time of year. Can you imagine He had to put a season on that word, or that all got it right there? He had to put a season on that word and put a timer on it. And then on the day of Pentecost, the timer went off. Hey, hallelujah. On the day of Pentecost, the timer went off and they got it. Yeah, hallelujah. Notice it says you can join anything you want to, but you're born into the church of the living God. Born by the breath of God. You're not born to listen to tapes. You're not born to come at Happy Valley, shaking a preacher's hand, us baptizing you in water. Only one person can breathe on you and make you have life. God breathed on them and said, "Receive ye." Brother Branham makes a breathing sound. Now, don't take this wrong. Brother Branham could breathe on us until the cows come home. Brother Branham don't have eternal life in his breast. Brother Donnie don't. None of the rest of these preachers don't either. There's only one that can breathe and you get the Holy Ghost, and that's Ruach. Now, what's he doing? He's becoming. He's becoming. Amen. Oh my, the Holy Ghost, there you are. Not come and join. Put your name on there with soup suppers and all that goes with it. You join a lodge. You can join the Methodist lodge, the Baptist lodge, Presbyterian lodge, Catholic lodge, or Pentecostal lodge. Let me add one more. Message lodge. But when you become a child of God, you're born by the breath of God. Imagine a person might send a message to you for years and years and years. They may have all kinds of secret sins in life. They may do all kinds of things, and yet they know it's wrong. And from down deep within them, their heart, they know they shouldn't do this and do that and the other. But one day Ruach walks by. They've tried to quit this, and they've tried to discipline themselves, and they got scriptures plastered all over their car and all over their wall, my, everywhere. And it still ain't done it yet, but one day he just passes by and goes, and when it does, you're at the right place at the right time. And it ain't that your mouth is open, it's that your heart's open. Amen, brother. God don't need to give us mouth to mouth. It's God mouth to heart. It comes from the mouth of God, goes right down inside of our heart, and seals our soul with the Holy Ghost. And you become born of the same breath that Adam was born by. Believe it or not, you become an eternal person with God. Oh. Oh, you say then that I received my eternal life? I never said that. I said, you become an eternal person. You're carrying the seed around in you already. And the seed just needs the wind. And once the seed and the wind mix together, you become what you wasn't before. You become what I couldn't make him. You become what Daddy couldn't do. You become what Elohim breathed into you. Then you become, can you imagine, you become in matter. That expression of that attribute he had in his mind before the world began. Notice Brother Bam said, how do you get it in the church? Born. What by? The breath of God. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Spirit of the living God, breathe on me. That's my prayer. Just let the Holy Spirit breathe on me for the breath of God. What is it? Sealed away in the kingdom of God, knowing that when I first confessed, I believed Jesus Christ. Notice in God's power to transform in Genesis 1, we find God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Then he goes and says, many things happened upon the earth. Then we come to find out there was no man to till the soil. Then God created man out of the dust of the earth. That was a different man. And he breathed the spirit of life into him. And he became a living soul. The first man was in the image of God, which is spirit. St. John 4 says God is the spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. But God is a spirit. And the first man that he created was spirit man, and he was in the image and the likeness of God. Then he put this man in flesh. Notice though, it wasn't the man in Genesis 1:26 that fell. Hold on. He couldn't fall. Oh, Lord Jesus. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. If you ever get the Holy Ghost and your soul gets sealed, you can no more be lost than God himself can be lost. You can no more fall. Oh, you might get cold and you might get indifferent and all that sort of thing. But brother, God has breathed into you, not this, but God has breathed into you the breath of life, and you are an eternal person with God. That man in Genesis 1:26 is still alive somewhere tonight. He's not buried. He didn't die. He didn't fall. He is eternal. You say, Brother Branham was using a play on words when he said, you hear that I've died. Don't you believe it? Y'all ever hear that I've died? Don't you believe it? Now this right here might die. We might bury one another and have funerals and all that. But that person that received the breath of God, he can't die. Oh, glory to God. He's become an eternal person with God. Notice, then he put this man. What man? The man in 1:26. In flesh. Genesis 2:7. And man, Genesis 2:7, fell. So then God came down and become. Amen. Glory to God. Because you become man, he had to become man. Glory to God. I had this sermon named wrong this evening. About 5:45, something like that. I renamed it. But it wasn't after I went down through and looked at all these becomes and the scriptures and the quotes. I really thought the becoming of man, I thought it didn't fit it somehow. It didn't fit right. But now that I'm preaching it, I say he knew exactly what to call it. I had the wrong title for it. Well, glory, he must have something on his mind tonight. I said he must have something on his mind that he wants us to know what we're here for. We are here to become. No wonder he said Jesus is manifested to destroy the works of the devil, that he might give us the power to become the sons of God. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Notice the question answers on Genesis. What connection does the first man have with the second man? Now, they're relating here to Genesis 1:26 and Genesis 2:7. And he says several things, so I just cut part of this out, but this is his answer to that question. The first man is the second man made manifest in five senses. So the first man is the second man made manifest in five senses. So was the first man separate from the second man? Yes. Which was first? The first, of course. Had the second been first, everything would have been reversed. But the first was first. And God breathed into the first the breath of life. And the first became eternal. Amen. So now, man has become. Genesis 2:8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed, not the man he had created. Now the emphasis changes from the created man to the formed man. Don't you understand? We're being conformed to the image of His Son. But we've been recreated already in our soul. You understand? If we receive the Holy Ghost, our soul, God cannot do one more thing to our soul. Lord, children, that everything, if you've got the seal of God, your character's not perfect yet. Your flesh is not perfect yet. And maybe many things about us, but that within us, that soul is sealed. Do you think God halfway sealed your soul if it's only halfway ready? Is your soul ready or not ready? Is your soul perfect? Is your soul complete? Is it in God? He is there in Christ Jesus. Notice now, Jehovah Elohim planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. The word Eden signifies pleasure or delight. Now notice he had planted. For this was, of course, after the formation. Not when man was formed, but it already made this special place. What was not the earth good enough. The earth had been fully restored from its chaotic condition. The earth had been reverted back by God's power to the state it was before the fall of whatever happened after Genesis 1:1. The waters were full of fish. The skies were beautiful and blue and full of birds. The hills were covered with all varieties of grass and trees and herbs and plants and bushes and flowers. Isn't this enough? Wouldn't that be good enough to put the man on that? Apparently, the way he looked at it, it wasn't. The earth in this restored condition, we would certainly consider it a garden, would we not? But somehow he wanted something above the other. Something super special. Hand-selected, hand-picked trees and flowers and shrubs and so on. Lord Jesus. Lord God. The earth had no droughts, no trouble, no storms, so the earth itself was absolutely beautiful. But to him it was not still exactly what he wanted. So he goes over in the land of Egypt, joining and pointing over toward the direction of modern day Iraq. Down the river Euphrates to the Shinar, toward the east side. And he begins to handpick certain things in order to make a place of reception. This is what I was crying about the other night when you come down and I studied. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So notice how that Moses catching the setting of pleasure, paradise. God hand-selected. Now, apparently there were trees out in the earth that was not as appealing to the senses. They were not as pleasant to the sight. But God wanted him totally surrounded. So in this beautiful place of what they call today the cradle of civilization, God hand-selects certain species and places them there and allows certain species of dinosaurs, great birds, beautiful flamingos, and birds of paradise. Amen. And the river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. So here God has a garden, water. Now he has this reception place for his son. Now actually his body was not formed out of Eden. His body was formed on the outside of Eden and then brought into paradise. You won't get your new body out of that heavenly city. You'll get your body out of this earth. And then you'll be brought into paradise. Notice the prophet said in Satan's Eden, it took God 6,000 years. It didn't take him that long, but he took that long. 6,000 years, because we're taught that one day in heaven is 1,000 years on the earth. And 6,000 years is 6 days that God built the earth, and it took God 6,000 years to establish it. Notice, establish it. And plant it with good seeds. And bring forth everything after its kind. Everything must come forth of its kind. All of his seeds are good. So it must bring forth after its kind. So God took 6,000 years. Finally, when he got it all made and finally arrived with its headquarters of the earth in a beautiful spot laying east of Eden called the Garden of Eden. God made the world's headquarters in the Garden of Eden in Egypt. Right in the east end of the garden was the headquarters. And over the whole situation, he put his son and his son's wife over it all. That's what God did. He put them in full control. They could speak to the winds and it would cease to blow. They'd speak to the tree and it would move from here to there. The lion and the wolf fed together. The lamb laid down with them and there was no evil. It was perfect peace, perfect harmony, everything in perfection. And when God had it under his control, to notice, he had his world, he had all in operation, everything coming, everything eating vegetation. Nothing to die, nothing to be ruined, nothing to be spoiled. It was just perfect. And over it all, he placed his beloved children, his son and his daughter, a husband and wife to control it. And God was so satisfied. He rested from all his works at the seventh day and hallowed this seventh day Sabbath for him. Because God looked over it all after it had been 6,000 years and molding it, fixing it out, making it come into existence and putting the mountains up, make the volcanics push the mountains up, and the things out there taking place in the eruptions, dried it off and fixed it the way he had. It was a beautiful place. There was nothing like it. This great paradises of God, the great dinosaurs, and whatever more crawling through it, the great animals, no harm in them. They were just as gentle as a little kitten. And nothing at all, no sickness, no sorrow, not one disease germ on the earth. Lord Jesus, oh what a place. The great birds swinging from tree to tree, and Adam could call them by name and they would fly upon his shoulders and coo to him. Oh what a wonderful place God had. So God forms this man on the outside of paradise, places all the trees, the river, and then it breaks down into four different heads and parts down through Pison, Euphrates. And then God says, and there was gold in the land of Havilah, and the gold there was good. Why would Moses mention gold in paradise? I guarantee you Adam wasn't mining it. Adam didn't have a smelter. He wasn't digging it up. It was part of the decoration. When man's heart gets right, he can live around all kinds of money and it don't bother him. God's got some rich children, but they'd give it all up if need be. But some folks can't handle money. Apparently Adam can handle it okay. He lived in a land and one of the rivers had gold in it. That ain't nothing. The pavement in my hometown is solid gold. Let's stand. Notice this in verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Man wasn't to go there and be idle. He was actually going to do things. But the labor would not be hard. And he would not sweat, actually. The first employment that a man ever had was a gardener. So some of you wondering what we're going to do for eternity? You think we're just going to float around on clouds? I don't think so. This was his first employment, his occupation. Not to sit there and to be nothing, just sit around and twiddle his thumbs, but he's to dress it and keep it. Don't you love him? If anybody could sit back and draw easy money and draw Social Security, it'd been Adam. Adam wasn't a check sort of a guy. You know, some folks, man, they don't hurt if they got a little bit of back pain if they can get a check. Oh. I know some folks in the message that won't get prayed for till after they get their check. And after they get their check, they'll come up in prayer line. Friends, when the day is restored back, what do you think it will be like? We will be once again restored back to such a place. Except this time, the elect will be in city life. If you'll notice here in the Garden of Eden, there's no city. Adam was a country man, country dweller. But when paradise returns, it's city life for all you elect. Don't worry. It won't be like Johnson City. There'll be no dark alleys. There'll be no need of police. It'll be perfect, won't it? When he and we and the earth become into the final stage of the unfolding of what he wants it to be, it will have fully arrived. As Paul used the word in the New Testament, that you may grow and abound. And that Greek word is the word used for a flower on a tree or bush. How that it would first come out. It won't be long. We'll see them on our trees. And they'll come out in that little bitty tiny stage. But that ain't the end of it. It'll come out a little bit farther. And a little bit farther. And a little bit farther. Until it fully unfolds. That's what the earth is doing. That's what you're doing. That's what he's doing. He's becoming. I don't know what you think, but I think even this word that he's been giving us in the last little bit, he's becoming more to us. Don't you? He's becoming more. And we're becoming too. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father. You who brought man to this paradise in the beginning. It wasn't that Adam was out just walking around one day on the earth and stumbled into this beautiful place. But you actually, the Lord God, brought him to this place. Hava Elohim. Yahweh. Lord God, it is you who has brought us to where we are too. It wasn't us. Oh, we used to think we sought you and we done this and we done that. We've outgrowed that, Lord. We realize it wasn't us out stumbling around one day and looking and searching and we found this or that or the other. But we found out it was the Lord God that has led us to where we are. I believe it was you that led your bride to this message. No doubt we have led some people. And no doubt many of them won't stay. No doubt that's part of what's going on right now while people are leaving. They were led to this message by other people. But it wasn't the Lord God that led them into this great place. Father, I pray, may we continue to become. Oh, Lord Jesus, we want to grow, grow and grow and grow until there's no more room in these bodies. Hallelujah. That we will have to be changed. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, mighty El, Elah, Elohim. Thank you for becoming Ava, Elohim. Thank you for becoming Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Raha, thank you for becoming a man. Thank you for becoming my sin, that you might make me you. Lord, help us, I pray. The earth sure looks a long way from being paradise now. More sickness, more trouble, more heartache on her than ever been before. More funerals, more hospitals, and yet more people dying in them. Lord Jesus, she sure looks like she's a long way. But you who made her in the beginning, made her for an eternal purpose. She only became matter in time, and that matter could become affected. But that attribute of who she is has never been touched since the day you thought of her before you ever laid her foundation. The same was Adam. When you breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became an eternal person, that attribute struck time. That attribute struck 16 elements of the earth and they emerged together and he became an eternal person. Though the man sinned, And the man, 930 years old, would die. No doubt they buried him. He was a contemporary with many of the great men that we read about in the Bible. No doubt they had a funeral service and they buried him. But they did not bury that person that had received the breath of life many years prior to that. Same with us, Lord. We bring our husbands, our wives, our moms and dads, those that have lived for you and served you. We cry as they depart. We hold their hand. Then we walk up in front of them and we touch them on the cheek and they're cold and lifeless. We can't hardly stand the thoughts of taking them out there and burying them, dropping that body down in that dark hole. But Lord, that person that received the breath of life is not the one being buried in that hole. It's only that person of Genesis 2:7 that was formed into dust. But that other person, because the prophet said when God made Adam, he made all of our souls before the foundation of the world. Amen. For Adam is not one man, but mankind. So he was the head of that race. Glory to God. And when the second man, Adam, come on the earth, he was the head of that new race. Thank you, Lord. If there's anybody here tonight, Father, that has not been breathed on, would you come by tonight, Lord? I know it's Wednesday. But, Lord, I don't think it has to be Saturday night or Sunday morning for you to come down. I believe you can come by on Wednesday night as well as any other time. Lord God, we invite you to come to your Lord. That same mighty Elohim that moved in that upper room. As of a rushing mighty wind, the breath of God come blowing through. Lord Jesus, we open our hearts to you tonight, Lord. O Lamb of God, I believe I've received you. I believe my soul has been sealed. But I'll tell you one thing, Lord, I wouldn't mind a good stirring of that wind coming amongst us here tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we adore you tonight, Lord God. May we become, Father, what you want us to be. May we become more forgiving. May we become more gentle. May we become more like you. Our character, everything about us, Lord, being molded and shaped, that we can become. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Lord God. Breathe on us tonight, Lord. I can see you there that day, the molding of the clay, the attribute unfolded from your mind. As you shaped his fingers and toes, his ears, his hair and nose, what a smile came upon you, Lord, that day. Then he stood upon his feet. The work it seemed complete as air went in and out of his lungs. Then Ruach, you moved so close. The power of the Holy Ghost. And you breathed the breath of life into him there. And Adam became a living soul. Oh, Adam became a living soul. The ability to know. The ability to see, for Adam there became a living soul. I think of myself today, many years you started molding the clay. As a little boy of 12, I knelt down to pray. Then I become, from one thing more on and on become, to you unfolded what I am, today. Lord, let me become a living soul. Lord, let me become a living soul. In your image glorified, to become the bride of Christ. Lord, let us become a living soul. Breathe on us that we'll become your soul. Oh, breathe on us that we'll become your soul. Lord, quicken our holy seed, that by the power of God it'll manifest in works and deeds that will become by power your living soul. Oh, Adam, he became a living soul. Now the bride is becoming a living soul. We don't have church membership or joining a church or a bunch of creeds and dogmas. Oh, but we want to become living, don't we? Born by the breath of God. Born by the breath of God. Ruach breathe in us tonight a living soul. May we become quickened by your word a living soul. We're born by the breath of God while on this mortal earth we trod. Oh Lord, won't you please make us a living soul? Lord, I want to become a living soul. God, conscience, no right and wrong. Make decisions, make choices based upon your promise, based upon what you want for me, Lord God. As I walk upon this earth, as I live here down below, oh Lord God, make me a living soul. Lord God, make me a living soul. Quicken the seed of life down in my soul. Lord, burst it by your breath and bring all the rest of them, Lord, right along with me, dear God. Oh, please, Lord Jesus, make me a living soul. Lord God, breathe in me the breath of life, that I can become your living wife. For eternity. Oh, Father, breathe in me the breath of life. I don't want this message to become just a creed, Lord. I don't want to go to church and just sit there, Lord, and not really be free. But let the breath, the voice of God, let it speak to my soul while I trod on this earth, Lord God. Breathe in me, Ruach, the breath of life. Oh, breathe in me, the breath of life. Lord, that I can become your wife. I can be the word made manifest. No matter what trials, no matter what test, that I can be the voice of your bride. Let your bride be the living voice, oh God, in this last age. You said she would be the final voice to the final age. Oh, grant it, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We long for the glorious day when soon you'll take us away, Lord God.
Will you lead us to paradise? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. One day, friends, the Lord God will take the man again and put him into paradise. You see, this is the same word that Sarah said to Abraham. Shall I indeed have eaten with my Lord pleasure? Shall I indeed have eaten with my Lord again? Him being old and me being old? Here we are, a 2,000-year-old bride. And we say, shall I indeed have eaten with my Lord again? He'll say, no, not as a 2,000-year-old bride, but as an 18-year-old year bride, you can. Oh, glory, not with them wrinkled hair, not with them wrinkles in your face and losing hair and glasses on, but in a changed body you can. Oh, praise the Lord. God bless you. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight, Lord. Lord, these things just make us so homesick to go. I wish we could just go tonight. I wish we could leave from this place. But Lord, maybe there's some not in yet, some not sealed. We don't know when, but one day the last one will come in and the hour will arrive. And we'll get to leave this place. But until we do, we don't want to sit around all sad and long-faced with the mully grubs, as we say. But we want to become more and more and more of what you want us to be. Help us, I pray, Lord. Go with your children now, Father. Bless them, I pray, dear God, the remaining part of the week. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Oh, I don't think it'd be fitting for us to go without just raising our hands up to Him just a little bit. Just loving Him a little. Just pulling Him up close to you just a little bit. Tell Him how much you love Him. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, I worship You, Lord. I'm glad I don't have to wait till the new earth. Lord, to be with You, to have love with You, to have fellowship with You, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wherever the image of God is, there's fellowship. Adam needed the image to have the right fellowship. The animals didn't have the image, so they couldn't fellowship with You. Adam had the image, and he could. So with the restored image back to the bride, then we can fellowship like no others. All kinds of churches can scream and holler, and they can worship, but they can't have fellowship if they ain't got the image. Hallelujah. Adam was made in Your image. That image imparted the ability to fellowship and worship in a close way like nothing else could. Lord Jesus, we worship You, Father. We adore You tonight, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's sing together, Because He Lives, as we go. Lord willing, I'll see you this weekend. Certainly want to express to you, Carolyn, I appreciate you praying for us this week, having to deal with the funeral of her Carol's sister's son. We thank you for all the prayers and things that you offered to the Lord for us. We certainly do appreciate that. Praying for the family as well. Thank you for that. Let's come expecting the Lord to speak to us once again. I hope y'all been using them positive affirmations. My house looks like I don't know what. Everywhere you go in every room, Carol's got them plastered and taped to the light switches and refrigerator and got them taped up everywhere. Amen. I love it, don't you? Oh, I appreciate His word. God bless you, bride. God bless you, wife of the mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't you ever forget this. He's not just your God. He's your Lord God. He's your Lord God. And it's because He lives. His bride can face tomorrow because He lives. God bless you, saints. I love you. Appreciate you. All my fear is gone because